This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up Podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. Head over to tethernation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about. When you hit the woods, there's no room for second-rate gear. That's why I trust Huntworth. They build high-performance hunting gear that keeps you concealed, comfortable, and locked in without the ridiculous price tag. Whether it's lightweight gear for those sweaty September sits, rock-solid mid-season layers, or insulated late-season killers, Huntworth has the lineup to keep you grinding all year long. And every season, they're dropping new gear that's built for serious hunters who demand more out of what they wear. So if you're tired of paying for a logo instead of performance, it's time to upgrade. Head over to huntworthgear.com, check out the full lineup, and hunt prepared, hunt hard, hunt with Huntworth.
Well, that's a rodeo. That is, 6 years in the making.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I still don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Hey, at least you're making a podcast.
Like every other individual out there.
Someone's got to do it.
I hope this doesn't come across, but somebody was like, I just want to date somebody that's not a white guy that is... has a podcast, I heard somebody say. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, I didn't realize it. I did not realize how big podcasting was outside of the hunting space.
Yeah.
Like people just having podcasts, they have podcasts about everything. Oh, today I don't know, I'm really into drinking AG1. I'm like, it's just mix it up and drink it. But they'll have like a 4-hour podcast about the health. I don't get it. I don't watch or listen to any of it. So
it's weird. I could honestly say over the last coming up to 6 years of doing the podcast. Actually, in a couple of weeks, it will be 6 years.
Congratulations, first and foremost.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right? A little small golf clap. It's amazing how ebbs and flows I've gone as far as like listening to podcasts, like not my own episodes, but just other individuals, you know, whatever. It'd be Rogan, Bo Hunter, whatever have it. But there's times where it's like, I don't even go on and listen, you know, and there's other times where I'm just consuming it like a fire hose, depending on what it is.
Oh yeah.
You know, I might listen to somebody and it's maybe not even the hunting industry. Like you just said, it could be something totally,
totally different. Off the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, man, dude, I appreciate it. I know we were just talking. We're going to do another one with the new outline and kind of the new direction.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah. Just something different, man. Like I did a mini test run with it last night recording. This episode's going to drop, because Christmas is what on a
Thursday.
So this will drop Christmas Eve.
Sweet.
Which is nice. And, so like I'm trying to prepare myself a little bit and I did like a trial run last night, maybe not so much tonight, just cause you're a good friend of mine and you and I just like to BS a little bit. So that's,
we do. We get a little into the weeds every now and then.
Yeah. So we'll try to bring that into light. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to another future episode that hopefully we could pan that one out, which I know we will. It's exciting times because you're getting the shop ready for indoor league, which I do want to talk about because I've been preaching about it now for the last couple of weeks on the podcast myself for how I want to get better. And it aligns with what you truly say about a hunter, a 3D person, it gets better during this time of year, right? I know I'm anxious to see what my scores could end up being because it's, you know, I could shoot by myself. I could shoot in front of my students, whatever it be, and think I'm whatever. But when it's actually going to count now, let's see what happens.
So. Yeah. Everybody's king of their own backyard. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, for the YouTube audience, for the podcast audience who can't see, I'm completely covered in paint, because I've been painting the upstairs and downstairs range cause they were just filthy. It's just easier just to repaint them than it is to wash them. I finished yesterday and I've had a couple guys come in here and kind of like warm themselves up, right? Okay. They're kind of getting ready. They've never really shot league before. They kind of want to test the waters. And here at Average Jack Archery, the league is just so laid back. It's so chill. You shoot any day you want, whatever, all that sort of stuff. But they came in and shot yesterday. And one of the guys came in and you know, he's usually like, you know, holding a tennis ball and in at 20 yards in his own backyard. He came in here and he said, I was hitting reds, which is 8 and 7s left, right, and center. He's like, why is it so much harder? I was like, because it is. It's a mental thing. When stuff is on the line, when people might know your score or there's other people on the line watching you hit your target and you know, you're hitting it in the 8, the 7, the 6, or even missing sometimes on a three spot face, there's a different animal to play. Your outdoor game is made better by your indoor game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. So again, I'm very excited to test that water and just see. And I've been saying it for 3 years now. I've just been a little bitch about it, but yeah, so we'll dive into that. And, you know, I do want to just talk about, you know, getting better. I mean, we're leading into that reflection time for me personally. December's that month, even non-hunting stuff. I just reflect on how I could be a better person. How can I be a better dad? That type of stuff. I want to reflect on that. But man, like I came in a couple times. You and I had a chance when I hit it right, when you weren't maybe so busy when you were in here. So you and I had some good BS sessions and it was like, all right, that was a great podcast. I'm glad we hit the record button, you know? I'm looking forward to this one. So kind of, I mean, reflecting on this year, dude, like you got some deer down. You were, you know, you were specific with the times that you were going. You only were limited on time too, just, you know, with your job. I mean, dude, you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
You know, not to, you know, beat a dead horse. I mean, everybody that's probably listened to the podcast and obviously that is watching on the channel know who you are and that type of stuff. But I mean, you're a busy guy. Your husband, your dad, you got the job with Huntworth, you got the bow shop, and you're pulled in other directions as well that like people don't know what irons you have in the fire. So I have a lot of respect for you on that front. But man, like, I guess, you know, think about it quickly, you know, reflect on that year, like as far as hunting goes and maybe other things, like where do you, however you see fit, where you want to touch upon first, like let it rip.
Yeah, it was interesting. I, when we started bow hunting, you had to be 12, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, this is my 23rd year bow hunting. And, you know, I think you would think like 23 years of doing something, you'd be like, I got this, kind of figured out. I'm telling you, every year I learn something new. Mm-hmm. And I've been hunting a lot of the same ground now, you know, public ground for the past 10, 15 years. And just that number of things I learned just this year has been a huge piece of reflection for me. You know, so for my non-YouTube audience, this Euro mount here over Jeremy's shoulder was the buck from PA this year. It's about 113-inch deer. It's nothing amazing. But for PA public land, he's a pretty nice deer. One thing I really had to take to heart this year is that I don't run cameras. So when I just see deer is when I see deer. And I had done a bunch of scouting, and I had actually, like, the week before season is really when I like to scout. And I went out during a big rainstorm, and I had e-scouted this one point with a pin on it. I was like, I know I need to get out there. Well, I get out there blind, pouring down rain, and it's just mountain laurel. And for those who don't live in the Northeast, mountain laurel is just a bush from hell. It's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no thorns, but it's just nasty, tangled, and you're crawling through it and underneath it and everything. And I crawl all the way out, and I'm looking at All-Nex. I'm sitting on my knees on this outside of this rock outcropping. And I look to my right about 20 yards, and there's this massive 8-point just sitting there bedded, looking right at me. And I was like, what? And then he gets up, runs off, his buck buddy, that, because they're in bachelor group still. There was a pied bald spike that was with him. Oh. And you would think that, and so that I'm like, all right, I got these deer in their home range. I'm going to be in here often. I ended up going back in there and seeing a bunch of deer. I never once saw that pied bald spike ever again. And you could see this pied bald spike through the timber from like 400 yards. It's just a big white sheet. And so I thought to myself a lot, like, oh, I'm in this deer's home range, and I never saw it again. I probably was in that spot another dozen times. Okay. And within half mile, three quarter of a mile, well within a whitetail's home range out here, never saw the piebald spike again. So what that tells me is that just because you're not seeing deer doesn't mean you're in the right, mm-hmm. you're in the wrong place.
Right.
That was huge for me. Because after about the second, third week of the season, I didn't see a single deer.
Okay.
Did not. And I'm like, I know I'm in the right place. I know I'm in the sign. I'm in the scrapes, from the rubs, I'm in the acorns looking for does, something. And then the buck that I ended up shooting was the last deer I saw for the rest of the season. Although I really stopped hunting after that PA, but saw him Halloween morning in just absolute garbage weather. He was the only deer I saw.
Dude,
it was horrible.
It was horrible.
Horrible weather.
Where we were.
Yeah. It was Halloween morning. It was blowing sideways. 30 mile an hour winds. It was soaking wet. And I remember sitting in the tree going, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Like, I don't think I could have made a dumber decision. And I just so happened, I was looking on my phone at the radar, and because I was like, this cell has to be over because I'm getting soaked. And this huge branch snapped off this tree because of the wind, like 150 yards from him, and I watched it fall. And I had this thought to myself, glad I was not in that tree. And for some reason, the voice of something, for you non-believing people, you can think what you what it is, but I'm literally like, it says, turn around. I'm like, okay. So I look over my right shoulder, and there's this 8-point making this scrape at like 10 yards. Just, he's been there for God only knows how long. God only knows how long he'd been standing there. If he looked at me, and I was just goofing off of my phone. So I'm in the saddle. I did a full 180 degree. He had no clue. Shot him at 10 yards and watched him fall over. And it was just one of those things where I'm like, first of all, learn, get off your phone. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've ever actually witnessed, like, being on my phone almost burned me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's burned me before, but I don't know about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't take it to heart. Granted, I was just looking at the weather. I wasn't like scrolling Facebook, but still, you're in the weather. Mm-hmm. Let's freaking live with it. So yeah, there was just a lot of just unique things like that. That in 20 some years of bow hunting, I never really thought of. And then I went to Ohio. I shot a really nice 8-point out there. Actually, he's sitting back here in one of these targets. He's just skull capped, though. I didn't do anything. He's not that big. I didn't do anything fancy with him. Yeah, that guy right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a really, really nice 8-point. It was all busted up, but I shot him again at like 15 yards. And again, did not see that many deer, but the sign was there. So I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm not in the wrong spot. That was like the story of this year. It's like, I'm not in the wrong spot. There just aren't deer here today.
Yeah.
And so third day into our 5 days trek in Ohio is when I shot that buck.
Yeah. So I'm excited to hear scientifically. Now, I don't know when those guys will get data and that information, but I'm the nerd in me, and I know there's other individuals out there that do like that scientific approach and discussion with certain people. But to hear why a lot of hunters had that story of, I saw a sign, but I did not see a lot of deer this
year. So many guys had that story. In particular, like people coming into the store all the time. All they'd want to do is talk about their hunting life. And usually I just kind of just sit there and take it back. But this year it was the same story. Saw deer week one, maybe saw deer week two, and then gone. Nothing. And until like the first week in November. Like 3 weeks of just nothing. I don't know where they went.
Yeah. Like not a lot of does.
No.
I saw a lot, like I mentioned multiple times on the podcast, a lot of young bucks, either legal or just non-legal deer. You know, I think back to the when I was on public land nearby and I had that decent 8-point come in and I was getting ready to reach for the bow. And I just said, man, I'm excited for what's to come because of the data. What it looked like that historical data was telling me the first time hunting with my dad in a long time at the club. And boy, did that bite me in the ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, like lesson learned, and I grew some patience, and hopefully that could carry on to other things. But yeah, I'm anxious to hear what those scientific guys could say from the NDA or whoever it be. Just
well, the
to
Game
hear.
Commission does a great job. Pennsylvania Game Commission, they might get enough. They get enough knock for doing stuff poorly. Sure, whatever. But the great thing they do is now, granted, it's a lot of estimation, but they every year release the data. You know, during archery season, this many bucks we assume were killed. I mean, I claim all my deer. Yeah, you know, same. I do them, and you should. It takes 2 seconds. You do it in the app. But, you know, they're able, like last year, they claimed that it was the first year ever, and I believe it, that more bucks were killed in archery season than in gun season in Pennsylvania history, which I 100% believe it because I had people just in a single file line coming in this store. Let me show you the buck I killed. Let me show you the buck I killed. Let me show you the buck I killed. And like the first 3 weeks of season, it was insane. And then this year, I maybe saw half a dozen.
Before the first
week of the rut, you know, that first week in November. And then I was off to Ohio, so I wasn't even here.
Yeah.
So like, I really think there was a lot more that made it through to gun season. And the gun season has been nasty, like the weather-wise. I think a lot of deer, anecdotally, a lot more deer have made it this year.
Yeah.
Just based off of lack of hunting pressure and kills in archery season.
Dude, I hope so. I mean, oh my gosh.
Selfishly.
I hope so. I need any edge I could get. Yeah, this year was just an odd year, like just in general. And I talked to last week's episode's guest, Troy, and he's in the Harrisburg area. And he shot a 146 and some change on public out in that area.
It's a big deer.
Dude, I mean, it's cool too. Cool character. But, you know, talking to him, and it was funny because he goes, man, rifle the last couple of years, I just can't find them. Like even if he goes out scouting and stuff like that, or if his wife hunts or he's taking out his young daughter, he's just like, I can't find them. But during bow season, he goes, dude, I'll find them. He goes, but rifle. And I just said, it's so funny you say that because I've had that same conversation internally or with my buddies where I'm like, man, I might find deer during, you know, like I say that last year, I killed my buck in PA during rifle season.
Yeah.
But I mean, but that was, you know, luck. But at the last couple of years when I would have that buck tag, I'm like, shit.
It's over.
It's over. Archery season's done. I'm like, man, it's going to be a crapshoot if I find one during rifle season.
I haven't killed a buck in gun season since I was 16.
Yeah.
It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And most of it's just because I either killed it in archery season, obviously, or a lot of the time I didn't get it in archery season. And oh man, buck season's awful.
Yeah.
Gun buck season is awful in Pennsylvania. For me, I can never find, I can find does sometimes, but man, I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like I can't translate what I do with a bow in my hand to what I do with a gun in my hand.
Yeah.
I have no clue what I'm doing.
Yeah. How's the shop going and everything?
Shop is good. It's real busy in here. You know, obviously that rush that everybody talks about, you know, August, September, you know, even the first week of October, we have a lot of people that are like, I don't really care much about the first week. I'm like, you're really missing out. Mm-hmm. I could have tagged that first day. I was hunting with a buddy of mine and he just kind of was, we were in the same tree together in saddles and he was in the way and I couldn't make the shot. It was a really nice deer. I think it was actually the deer that I ended up bumping that, you know, that week before. Mm-hmm. But no, the shop's been good. The growth's been good. You know, all our manufacturers are happy. Our customers are really happy. We brought in a couple new manufacturers like Ultra Arrows. You know, we've expanded with certain lines and whatnot. So yeah, it's been a good been a good 2025. And we, you know, we're just about ready to start leagues and have a lot of new faces coming. We've had a lot more new faces this year come into the shop than in years past.
Right.
And that was cool. That was really, really cool to see that because, you know, I always worry that you have, there's only a finite number of people that live in the, like, when am I going to reach the maximum? And nope, I still have yet to reach the maximum amount of people. I see new faces every day.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Yeah. It's funny because I should say it's funny. I just enjoy promoting the shop, you know, with local individuals that I get a chance to talk to or randomly meet, like, hey, you know, or a new introduction into archery. Like, hey, if you need anything, you know, check in Phillipsburg. There's, you know, you literally have one of the most premier top individuals that you could learn from or talk to and help support and buy, you know, archery equipment from, and it's in your backyard. Like,
yeah,
go over the mountain, you know, when I'm over in State College and I talk to these individuals. So I just love doing that. And hopefully
I appreciate
that. And I, you know,
we need it.
Yeah.
It amazes me how many people live right down the road. You know, here we're in Phillipsburg in Osceola, little podunk town. I shouldn't say podunk, good people in Osceola, but smaller town just down the road. And the number of people that wander in here are like, I have no clue your shop was even here. Well, I've been here for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
They're like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
But then I have a customer for life, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. And that's cool. And I've even like my two cents, if I'm here in the background and I'll throw in like something to them, and they're like, oh yeah, okay. You know?
Oh yeah. We do have a handful of dudes that are in here. We're like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I would do. Or like I've even had them here. They're just kind of sitting around goofing off, having a cup of coffee. And I'd be like, well, actually Barry over here, or Josh over here, or Garrett over here, or Nate over here, they shoot this. And then all of a sudden it starts a conversation with that customer, with another customer. And then the rapport just grows massively. So yeah, it's good. I'm really happy what we've got here, and I hope it just keeps going.
Yeah, that's why I'm again. I mean, when we talk about what, how can we get better now, specifically shooting wise, and that's where I want the meat and potatoes to really be. You know, I'm excited that you have the opportunity. You know, you expanded upstairs. You know, now you have more lanes upstairs. You got further distance upstairs, and somebody could pretty much sight in a bow.
That was the goal. Was the goal.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally come here, buy a bow or buy a sight and be like, you know what? Hey, let's slap it on. Let's get it leveled and let's go upstairs and sight that sucker in and out the door. You're ready to go.
Yeah. 20, 30 foot. I mean, you could build a sight tape for a single pin slider, multi-pin slider. You got multiple pins out 20, 30 and 40 yards right there.
Yeah.
That was the goal with that, was that one stop shop. That's what I wanted it to be. I didn't want you to give you instructions and send you off on your way. If you had the time, go upstairs and do it.
Yeah.
Cause I trust that if I screw something up, I can fix it. If you screw something up and you come back in, are you mad at me? Are you frustrated?
Right.
And that's not what I want.
Yeah. And I just said, I opened it up with talking about how Nate's a busy guy. I've listed all his hats that he's wearing. And here you are. You could be complacent by saying, hey, downstairs is already done. Upstairs is still a work in progress, or it's done to the point. But here you are, you're repainting things. You're getting things, like you're putting in new bow hangers. Like, that's the little piece that, like, as a customer, you look for. And maybe, like, you know, for me, like, I appreciate those type of things. Maybe some, it just could go over their heads, which it could.
Right.
But, like, for me, I'm like, man, Nate's invested. That's where it's easy for me as a consumer, as a whatever, as a friend, that I could help or try to, you know, do my part in a sense of, like, coming to join this league buying whatever arrows or whatever and help promote that. Like, I see that, and I appreciate that for you, that you do that.
I appreciate you saying that. As soon as I figure out heat in the upstairs range,
it'll
be golden.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is.
We got a torpedo heater up there. It's just low loud. It's good though, but it's loud.
Hey, do that. I need that. I'll drown out the noise.
It'll drown you out. All right.
Yeah.
You feel like you're driving a Boeing. You feel like you're flying a Boeing 737 when you're at full draw.
Oh man. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, so we're in that time where some guys maybe struggled, or like during the hunting season, or like shooting wise, I'm not talking finding deer. I'm talking had a buck in front, like buck fever or bad placement shot, or just was not up to that person's standard, you know, a la me, right? Like, that's, you know, I admitted to myself of what I, you know, I could only talk about myself, but I know there's other guys out there where this happened. I mean, at one point, again, I don't want this to come across like, I'm not talking negative about anybody individual, but at one point when I was going through social media during certain times of the period, it felt like everybody was like, another wounded deer, I didn't get this one. And it's like, you sit there and you scratch your head. You're like, man, I hope that doesn't happen to me. And I know it's, I hate to say it. I know it's part of the, quote unquote, the game that we play, and we do our best. Like, I try to shoot as much as I can, 'cause I want to, you know, make sure I put a clean, ethical kill on a white-tailed deer. But it just seemed like so many people this year were just wounding deer. And that's why I love taking shots on does early on to kind of break that seal. I know that's whatever, but like, that gets me feeling good.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I like taking, hey, you only get one shot in the backyard today. You got to make that sucker count. And if you don't hit that, like, I make a consequence for myself, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever, maybe.
But like, we're in that period now, reflecting on that. Where does someone start to get better at archery right now?
The first thing is accepting that there's always room to grow. Right. I was just saying about, I've been bow hunting for over 20 years, and it's like I'm learning something new every single year. There's always room to grow. And as an archer, there's an unlimited ceiling. I don't care how good you get, there's unlimited. You can never be too good at a sport. And particularly with archery, you can never be too good at a particular sport, because there's always a different facet, whether it's indoor, whether it's outdoor paper, whether it's 3D, known distance, judging distance, and of course in hunting. The biggest thing with any sort of sport, though, and you know, it's that choke factor, and it's putting yourself in those high stress moments so that way you can continuously, robotically sounds like it takes all the fun out of it, but I can tell you there is no fun in tracking a wounded deer and getting the dog and getting the drone and not getting it, where there's a ton of fun walking up and putting your hands on antlers. So sure, the thrill of the moment, in air quotes, for that shot, you kind of lose it, is way more rewarding when you actually do it right. So like, when I go and shoot a deer now, it is not the actual shot that I freak out about. It's as soon as that arrow goes, my body just has an adrenaline dump. And you can see in all my hunting videos, I'm losing my bananas. As soon as that deer runs off and the moment kind of washes over you of what you just accomplished, I've won a couple tournaments, but never like a Lancaster or Vegas, right. Like a massive one, right? I can imagine if I did that, it would be the exact same scenario. If I was able to keep it together for that one shot, then as soon as the result is taken care of, then the emotions come out. You only get that by shooting in those high stress moments. You know, I remember reading when I was a kid in Field and Stream magazines, go run around your yard, do a whole bunch of push-ups, get your heart rate up. There's a difference between getting your heart rate up and getting your stress level up. Mm-hmm. I'll sincerely believe that.
I agree with you.
I mean, you know, you do all the health and fitness stuff way more than I do, and you understand there's an actual chemical difference between heart rate up and stress level up. And so I used to be hand to God about it. I used to wound deer all the time, like all through high school, all through college. And it wasn't until my wife and I kind of started dating, then got married, I started shooting competitively again, because I hadn't shot competitively since I was like 12, 13, 14. And when you're a kid, you kind of just don't really know what's going on. But when you're an adult and you're shooting competitively again, that stress level goes through the roof. Well, once I started competing again and putting myself in high stress, people are watching me. There's judgment on my score. My scores are posted on Facebook. My scores are posted on the ASA website, IBO website, for everybody to see forever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that stress is real. And and sure, I sucked. Like, there's a couple times I could, you know, do well at the y'all come and shoot kind of tournaments. But like my first ASA tournament this year down in Foley, I went like 24 down on the first day. You want to talk about stress, because you go into day two thinking I could shoot 24 down again today. And so, but then the next day, because of that stress and being able to fight back, I went 14 up the next day. Right, go the opposite direction. I think I finished 10 up, I think, by the time it was all said, but I was at 14 up at some point. And it's because you go from, okay, I've been here, you don't need to panic, you just got to take the shot. And so every single thing you do in your target practice sessions in the off season builds that high stress, whether it's a doe, whether it's a buck of a lifetime, whether it's a back in your backyard or in an out-of-state hunt. Those target situations where everybody's watching, because no one watches you in the woods.
Yep.
Unless you film it like an idiot like me or you.
Yeah.
No one watches. That's what it is. So, you know, I say it all the time, that shooting your indoor game makes your outdoor game better. And I strongly believe that, because nobody will panic harder than looking at a paper colored face. You know, they'll interview the people at Lancaster in the finals. the bow hunter class in particular. They'll walk into the bow hunter guy and be like, would you rather be doing, you know, PGA walking with you? Would you rather be doing this or would you rather have a giant buck in front of you? And they'll go, I'd rather have a giant buck in front of me all day. This is so much more stress with that indoor shooting. So putting yourself in that and being okay with failure and being willing to be like, this is all right. I can come back at a different, you know, learn new things and try new things out next time. All of a sudden, before you do that, you'll realize you'll have from like December, January, February, and March, you'll have like 600 arrows downrange.
Right.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge for staying in shape. That's huge for your mental game. And, you know, you did it over 4 months when otherwise you'd be sitting at home, you know, picking lint out of your belly button, watching postseason football. I mean, you know, yeah. And it's not that hard. It's like a 300 round takes like 40 minutes.
Right.
It's not a big commitment, right. But it makes a huge deal in the offseason.
Yeah. And I like that you said about like watching these guys and especially you, because, you know, I do consume your YouTube videos and I pick up on those little things because again, I want to get better. Right. So I do watch like, man, what's Nate doing beforehand? Like, I don't see you going like that, but getting ready to draw back. Yeah. Right. And so when I watch that, and like you said, you get that adrenaline dump, which is fantastic, but then you scroll through maybe certain things, and that's when I start watching, again, who's the best in the world. One of the best in the world is Levi, and Levi luckily puts out content. A lot of those guys really don't, right?
Phenomenal,
like,
content.
Right? Like who doesn't, a lot of those guys don't have someone following them around or taking videos and they're posting them, but like someone's doing that for Levi, and it's like, watch me take this shot to win the world or whatever it be. And like, that sucker just gets up, looks at it, and does his, you know, he's ranging in his head, grabs the bow, draws it back, comes in, he releases the arrow, and then you see him get psyched up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the one that I saw that he posted, you see him walk back, he looks at it, guys are coming up, shaking his hand, and he says to somebody, like, ooh, yeah, I felt, and I'm like, you weren't doing that. Like, maybe he, I mean, I don't know, like, but I watch that, and I'm just like, man, I want to be there here. Right. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, it's just, it's frustrating on an archer's part. And no matter what you do, you could sit there and be like golf is another example. Like I used to play a lot of golf because I worked at a golf club, mm-hmm. and all that type of stuff. Man, when you're playing every day, your shot gets pretty good.
Yeah.
You stop playing for a while, your shot gets real shitty. I mean, and
it's not riding a bike.
Right. You know, fitness is the same way. Yeah. I mean, just everything in life is that way. So when you stop putting yourself in those certain situations, you know, you are going to lose some of those attributes. And it doesn't take long, I think, if you go with a purpose and like you were just saying, have each session work on something specific and have a purpose with it. Because I told you earlier in the year, unfortunately, I did wound a deer. I mean, I couldn't believe it because of the reaction and the blood and all that type of stuff. And I didn't recover that doe. And I was like, dang, like that's the first one in a couple of years that's happened to me. Like, it, you know, kind of shot the ego a little bit. Like, oh, yeah. You know, it happens. And then fast forward, I haven't taken a shot. And then I got in rut action. And I mentioned it about the podcast last week. And I told you, I went back to where I hunted and missed that doe the other day. Same tree. And I just was ranging it in my head. It just seems a little bit further than 40, Jer, I said to myself. And I just keep doing it. I'm ranging, and I just kept getting different numbers. And I'm like, will this thing just finally pick up the right friggin' number? And I just was like, oh, well, just in front of that little scrape is a big tree. Range that tree. 49 yards. I said, okay. Let me try to like, so then I move a little bit more, and there was a little bit of brush, but like nothing crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I finally, and I was like, okay, I shot that deer for 40 and it's definitely way past 40.
Yeah.
And I, like, again, I said to you when I told you about it, I missed dead low. I was like, why did it go? And it just looked like it just shot down. Well, because I was 10 yards
about
off.
10 yards.
Do you know what I mean? So oh, like yeah. I had time to move my dial. So I didn't even like raise up higher and just use my bottom pin. I set that top pin because I knew, just, dude, you have time. Mentally, just go top pin and you'll be okay. So I did. I paid the price on that. And I'm not, again, it's not an excuse, but it's like, man, I was 8 yards, 9 yards potentially off.
Yeah.
So, but then I practiced that evening a couple shots. And again, when my practice routines, when I need to get right, I'm behind Nate. I don't think you could see it, but he has just a bag target. And I'm a Nate length far away from where I'm sitting.
3 yards.
To
a healthy
to
3 yards.
But dude, I'll practice that mm-hmm. in my garage. And then I'll slowly work back to my 12 yards, all I have in my garage. And that helps me get right. And then what ends up happening is the next day, I got out in the morning, didn't have a shot opportunity on anything, but then I came back, and that afternoon I had some alone time. Baby was taking a nap. My wife and the oldest were out doing something. I said, I'm going to go out in the garage for 25 minutes. And then I repeated that thing again, that the little shot process again. And I just was like mentally talking to myself. And I just said that night, when I go out a doe or buck, I'm going to fill this tag. And I had a doe come in and I took my time. I put the pin on, calmed myself. I knew every emotion. I knew every thought process. And when I released that arrow, drilled her, ran about 15 yards, cut up 15 yards, watched her fall. And it was like mentally, I was like, okay, see, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I think take that into the off season. And like you're saying, like put yourself in those tough situations of putting meaning behind it, like whether it be with your buddies and all that stuff, because man, that feeling sucked.
Well, it allows you to recover a lot sooner. Like when I'll never forget, I had, oh gosh, I think I was probably like a sophomore, junior in college. So maybe like 19, 20, somewhere in there. And I had a doe at like 10 yards or less. Mm-hmm. I mean, big, I mean, a chip shot, right? And it's on my strong side. I'm in my climber, everything. And I took the shot and it was the worst shot I ever made. Like the worst. I hit it like in front of the hind legs, like in the paunch. And it took me every bit of like 3 weeks to recover from that shot. I didn't want to pick up my bow. I didn't want to be in a tree. Now, if I make a bad shot, in particularly in a tournament or in practice, tough it, man. Hmm. You got another target coming up. You got another, if you're shooting indoor, you got another arrow coming up. You got another in coming up. You can't sit here and have a pity party for yourself in this tree stand. You got to move on. Mm-hmm. I think of when this year down at the ASA at Coleman, last ASA of the year. First day, we had a bunch of weather delay and a whole bunch of other stuff. And so I didn't shoot, my best, but it wasn't that bad. And then the second day, third target in, Javelina. And I look at this target and I'm judging this target. I'm like, this target's 32 yards. Like every bit of this target is 32 yards. There's no way that target is any closer or any further. I was feeling good. Pull up. And as soon as the arrow left the bow, I was like, nope, that's short. I missed this target by 5 yards. Misjudged it. Misjudged it by 5 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, I missed it. So that's minus 10. Tough it, Chief. You got to move on. Like, so that put me 10 down for the day. And I was already 8 down the day before, but I finished the whole tournament 18 down. So I went even the rest mm-hmm. of the day. Mm-hmm. And so I had every opportunity after that to throw my bow, kicking and screaming, miss every target, hit a whole bunch of fives, whatever the case may be. But because I've put myself into adverse moments where I have sucked, like straight up sucked, I shot a tournament several years ago. I won it. I was out in Weaver's Archery out in Middleburg. I showed up, very first tournament I shot since I came back in the bow hunter division. And I shot my way up from the fifth place to the first place.
Okay.
Won the whole dang thing. Fantastic feeling. Never felt like that rush before. Because, I mean, I was shooting at some dudes, and Central PA's got a lot of really good shooters. Went back the year after that, and I mentally crapped the bed so bad, I didn't even shoot a 300 out of 330 points. I mean, bad. I'm usually shooting like a 315, 320. I shoot like a 290. Mm-hmm. I mean, horrible. But I pulled into a gas station parking lot and I called my wife like crying. I was so embarrassed because all these people, I show up like, Nate, you did it last year. You ready for a repeat, you know? But you'd be able to like, and then the year went after that, we took second. So like, you got to be able to like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps from an archer's perspective, whether it is wounding a deer or missing a deer or competing, you got to get yourself back out there. And if you only do it while hunting, you're like me when you're a sophomore, junior in college, when I was that age, I didn't do anything else besides hunt.
Right.
So there I am at home, wallowing in my agony. Don't even feel like shooting my bag target in the backyard. Whereas if that's a tournament or you know, whether it's indoor or outdoor, whatever, tough it, man.
Right.
You got another target. You got another day. You're with a group of shooters. You know, every time you go somewhere, and I will say this is another big thing about shooting competitively at any level, is if you can go to a larger event, a state event, a national event, it's really big from the perspective of you're on a bale, like an indoor, you're in a bale of four people. When you go and shoot a 3D course in my division, semi-pro, you're shooting at least three others or four other dudes.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. You're with those guys. Like there's no, like, so if you're sucking, guess what? You're going to go along and suck with them. Mm-hmm. There's no taking your ball and going home. Yep. If you're on the Lancaster bale and you shoot a nine, tough turkey lips, we're all going to walk down there and look at it.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing, or worse, you know, five or six or whatever. There's nothing you can do about it. So being willing to accept failure, not feeling embarrassed about it. In your case, same thing with the doe. You're not embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Yep.
Just sit at home and just completely ignore the rut action or whatever? No, right. You got to get up and do it. And you only learn that adversity through the failure. You talk to any of the top pro athletes, Tom Brady not getting drafted in the first round, this person not getting this offer, this walk-on who goes in, you know, at college, yep, goes play, whatever the case may be. That is exactly the mentality you got to have, obviously on a much smaller level, for your backyard archer. Because that will, you will grow so quickly.
Yeah.
And it really
becomes more fun.
So much more fun.
I mean, it really, really does. And to think of, you know, what's the running, you know, joke tagline, certain guys, they only pick up the bow, you know, a couple weeks before the season and all that type of stuff. And I feel bad for those people because for the most part, they love archery. Why not continuously do it? That doesn't mean they need to join. Like, yeah, please join the indoor league, like, because you're supporting local, you're shooting bow. Like, that's all more fun. You're going to get better in different ways. But even just like what I was saying in the garage, you just need a bag target. You just need something to be a couple feet away. And you're just getting, like you said, that muscle memory. You're getting that shot process. Anything's better than nothing, right? You always hear that term, especially in the fitness world, like a bad workout is always better than a no workout.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, like shooting your bow is better than not shooting your bow.
So like I was saying, if you came and shot league and, you know, here in our store, 10 weeks, right? This game, you came in and shot 10 weeks from December to the end of February, you would have 600 arrows.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
600 arrows. There aren't dudes that shoot 600 arrows all summer. So imagine just the reps and the muscle memory and the camaraderie and being accepting failure all from just, you know, 30 arrows a week, mm-hmm, for 10 weeks. I'm assuming you're throwing 15, 20 in practice as well. So right, we're just ballparking around 600. But even if it's 300 to 500, just, you know, there, like I said, it blows my mind that guys are comfortable with sending less than 300 arrows downrange after a summer's worth of practice.
Right.
You would never show up to, you know, any sort of sporting event having only practiced for 3 weeks,
yeah,
4 weeks, 6 weeks.
So let me ask you this, Nate. An individual that may not be, that is just looking to get better, doesn't have the opportunity to come to the shop or have 20 yards right now. It's frigging cold, right? And
so cold.
You know, we have those up and down days. It's going to be 40 degrees later this week and we're going to be in shorts and t-shirts, yeah, probably running around, probably outdoors, throwing a 3D target out, being like, I'm ready.
I'm ready for spring, baby. Let's go. Yeah. It's not even Christmas yet.
Yeah. So how would you structure maybe a training, you know, practice?
Yeah. So what you're doing is great. A lot of people might call it blank bailing. Yep. I completely don't agree with the idea of making completely blank.
Like
I want you to,
don't
close your eyes. Like I want you to actually have a sight picture. They make these great things. They're the Vegas half face.
Okay.
So they're you know, take a standard Vegas face is three space or three dot is 18 by 18 inches. Well, they make them 9 by 9 inches. So it's a half size. So you could shoot it at 10 yards.
Okay.
There's a lot of dudes who have about 8 to 10 yards corner to corner in their garage. Now, if your garage looks like mine and you have no walking space in it, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But even if you're only, you know, 10 feet away, just having the visual picture of putting your pin on something, and sure, it's obviously not going to hit the center of the target at 10 feet. Okay, we'll accept it. But wherever it's punching that paper, if you can just keep punching that hole or make a quarter, if it's with a standard hunting arrow, a quarter sized hole at like 10 feet, oh man, just working on your pin float alone and the visualization of what your sight housing looks like in your peep, that's huge. And I'm talking 20 arrows, 30 arrows a week, like it's nothing. It's 1 to 2 days at the most, realistically. If you want to shoot every day, great. But that, you know, doing something like that is a big deal. You can do a lot of really simple things like the elastic bands, you know, that they use for yoga class. I know it sounds dumb, but just loop it one end over your thumb like a bow hand and just do a whole bunch of these kind of stretches. You'd be amazed how much your muscles atrophy when they aren't used in that particular way. And you know better than anybody that an archery muscle is not your everyday muscle.
Right.
It's really not. And we all are saying right now, as we start league, we're all going, man, I'm not in bow shape. Well, we've been shooting our bows all season. Why aren't we in bow shape? Well, because we're not shooting 30 arrows in 40 minutes.
Right.
That's why. Yeah. So when you want to be continuously ready to shoot 70 pounds when you're freezing, or 60 pounds when you're freezing and stiff and cold and it's late season, you know, those reps are super valuable to keep up that muscle growth. But really, yeah, I do a ton with those Vegas. I buy them off of Amazon. They come in like a big sticky note pad, and they come like 100 pack for like $20 or something like that. And those things are invaluable. I stick them to a piece of cardboard so you can put them on any type of bag target you have. They don't have to be a flat faced fancy foam thing. And yeah, I practice a ton. I'll even practice, my basement's too short for me to stand in. I'm 6'4". And so I sit on a blind chair that you put in a ground blind, and I shoot it eight yards in my own basement at one of those Vegas half faces. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel right when I go to stand up, you know, comparatively, but I'm working the muscles. I'm looking at the sight picture. I'm feeling my pin float out. Like,
love it.
Just a lot of things that you just don't think about. You just think, we all think just put the pin on the thing and squeeze the trigger. But there's like 20 different other things, visual, mental, and physical, that are going on, that if your body gets more autonomous with it, it just really gets better.
All right. I got to ask this because, again, I was joking and saying how I've been too chicken shit to, you know, put my name to paper and come down here for the last couple of years. Although I did put my name to paper last year. I just chicken, whatever.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. But who is it for? Who is Indoor League for?
Everybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody who wants to just be better. And that's better in the woods. That's better in the 3D course. That's for kids who want to get better in archery. Maybe they want to, you know, they know the legal minimum in Pennsylvania is 35 pounds. Right now they're pulling 20. Mm-hmm. They want to get up to 40 by the time deer season is. Well, guess what? Those 500 arrows are going to do a lot of good with a kid, right? It's a good bonding thing. I'll tell you, it's funny. This year more than ever, I've seen a whole bunch of moms and sons.
That's cool.
It's been really cool. You know, it's just a different dichotomy. I've had a couple young ladies, you know, under the age of 12, they've signed up to shoot. So yeah, it's just been, you know, league is for literally everybody. And if your local archery club doesn't have it set up in a way that feels very inviting, don't take it personally. Like, it's just something, you know, sometimes leagues just aren't run super clean. I take a lot of pride in trying to make this as accessible as possible, and try to make it fun for everybody of any skill level and any age. And that's really difficult to do, and particularly the smaller a league is, because you have more vocal, angry mouths with smaller leagues than larger ones. But, you know, it really is for everybody, because archery has no age limit. Archery has no, you know, there's Paralympic archers. There's Matt Stutzman shoots in, he doesn't even have one leg and he's missing both arms. Mm-hmm. Dude's an Olympic gold medalist in the Paralympics, you know? So it's just, it's one of those things where, and you guarantee he's shooting indoor over the winter.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm stoked. And for me personally, with the schedule, home schedule life and work schedule life, doing this type of fun stuff, you make it very welcoming for an individual like myself. And knowing that it's not just Tuesday, it's not just Thursday, anytime you're open, as long as you come in and, you know, like you said, you have those 10 weeks, you drop
Four scores. Yeah, we only keep top six. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but I love that. That makes it comfortable, you know, easy, welcoming is, I guess, what I'm trying to say for an individual, where it's not peer pressure, like, all right, I can't do that because it's only on Tuesdays, and Tuesdays I have to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I love that. You just posted a new video of shooting indoor with...
Hunt bow. Like a true honest to God hunt bow. Yeah.
And I, you know, used to do years ago on the podcast or on your YouTube channel, What was the segment? This is my grind my gears, or was it
can of worms? Oh yeah, is that the can of worms kits, man? Those I loved opening up a can of worms. I still do. I still open up a can of worms.
What's a can of worms right now that you want to open up?
I'll tell you, there's a can of worms I regret making. I mean, I regret making can of worms that you should stop shooting mechanical broadheads.
Okay, you did that years ago.
Yeah, years ago. I made a video because people were complaining. Oh, you know, penetration is starting heavy arrow bull crap came out. And I'm like, well, just stop shooting a mechanical broadhead. You get 100 times more penetration. Man, I'll tell you what, I love mechanical broadheads. Like I've come full circle on that. When that video was made, actually, there wasn't a ton of love in the universe anyway for mechanical broadheads outside of the television shows.
Right.
You know, the big blood trails and the big cuts and everything. Of course, where everything's a rage. But then I started shooting Grim Reaper broadheads and I was like, oh, this thing penetrates like a fixed blade, but then the exit wound is like a mechanical. I should try this. And I've been shooting them now for, you know, almost
great broadhead.
Going 10 years, great broadheads. I do regret making that one. I actually been thinking of going back, and the video is going to be like putting a lid on back on the can of worms because it's bad. Like I'm like, you should stop. You know, I'm beating the war drum for fixed blades and everything. And I do regret that one. But I think currently, like if there was one opening a can of worms, it really is. If you're not willing to go shoot in a tournament, then you're really not as good as you say you are.
Okay.
That's a big thing I'm struggling with right now. From a content creator perspective, there's been a lot of push. There's a lot, everybody knows. If you're watching me, you know all the other big players in this space of the archery learning community. And I'm pretty much one of two people that puts their hat in the ring when it comes to competing. Right. And the other ones, in my opinion, don't want to do it, not because they don't have time. I also run a bow shop and a dad and have other things going on. It's because they don't really shoot as good as they would like you to believe.
Yeah. So, okay.
That's something I'm really struggling with right now. Cause I got it. There's a lot of things I would love to say to somebody when they want to.
Dude, if this was a bowl, my head would be in that can of worms right now. So,
oh, dude.
Yeah. So Jim and I have always said the last 2 years, I would love to do you see the TAC videos, right? Like with all these content creators, they get a chance to go on the course before it even technically opens so they could get their video done, which like, hey man, they work, they have a following and they're able to do that, you know, little golf clap to them. I would love to do like a tournament.
Oh yeah.
Like a shoot like that, because I'm watching some of these things, and again, like I could be the sit at home, my, you know, what do you call those guys when they're like, oh, how did you not catch that pass?
Oh, an armchair quarterback. Yeah,
armchair quarterback. And I get that, but it's, you see some of this shit, and
it's a little head scratching, isn't it?
And again, I don't have a lot to go off of. I competed one main summer. I did pretty well in those shoots other than RBD, which was a really bad day.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it stands for.
I never thought of that. I'm sorry, Rob, if you're listening. Yeah. Rob, you make an amazing shoot.
Yeah. Oh, you do.
But Ram will kick your teeth in if you're not careful particularly.
And, but anyway, that, you know, I thought I did pretty well. And I had a good momentum going, and it just, again, the baby came, not making excuses. It just, it became difficult. So I'm back at it though this year, and I'm looking forward to that challenge for myself. But again, like you see some of these videos online, and I know like what we do, like me and my buddies. And again, like even though I'm shooting with my friends, I still get that like butthole pucker up.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Because again, someone's judging you. You want to win. Like we go against, you know, I'm going to talk shit on them right now. They haven't beaten me in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, like prior to my little winning streak, I would win. But then, man, that collapsed. There would be that one target where mentally I would collapse.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, my gosh, what is going on? I was just shooting, you know, 11s on that sucker, you know, or on the Reinhardt targets, what were they, 12s?
No,
you know,
the Reinhardts were 11s. Yeah.
You know, I'm dead center of them. And then next, you know, there's one bat somewhere and it's flying and hanging and I just miss it. And then I lose it. But then the last couple of years, I've belt the asses. I will admit it.
Just open up a big old can of whoop ass.
But, yeah. And which is awesome. But again, I see some of this stuff and I'm like, I'd be like, yo, we shoot better than these guys.
It's funny. I every now and then I do a video and I'll talk about, you know, how I competed. Right. Yeah. And you know, in the IBO circuit, I've done way better than the ASA circuit. You know, I've had a couple of, I've had a podium and a top, I was fourth in another national leg. And, you know, and then I've done the other ASA stuff. I've done very well at Lancaster. I do pretty well at indoor, which is really sucks because I really wish I was better at 3D or at least more equal at 3D anyway. But I'll post a video and I'll talk about this sort of stuff and I'll get texts mm-hmm. from fellow competitors, some in the way higher in the pro division than what I'm in. And they'll text me like, hey man, keep doing what you're doing. It's great. You know, it's love to see you. And every now and then I'll get a wild one that's like, you know, I really would love to see, and people comment this on YouTube, I would love to see all you archery influencers get
right.
together.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And compete. Yeah, you know, me, Chris B, MFJJ, Dan from Elkshape, Tim Connor, Brandon McDonald, you know, all these really high, you know, high level dudes. And a lot of those dudes, you know, got their name from shooting, you know, 9,000 yards over at TAC events. And I think really the only one, if he was an actual like course or an actual indoor tournament, the only one who scares me is Chris B. Because that dude was born and raised in target archery. Right. And that's one thing, like if you actually go back and look at anybody's history, and if there is a background in target archery,
It's him.
Mm-hmm. And respect that. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say about it now. That dude was going up against gold medal winners in his teens. That dude won his way out of the NAS program. So when Chris B talks, sure, he might not compete anymore, but I listen mm-hmm. because I have mass respect for that. If you don't go have put your name out there and you haven't gone and competed in a tournament at the state or national level, I'll glean what I can, but I don't trust your mental game. I think that's, I would rather trust the dudes that come in here and shoot league or go over and put their skin in the game at the local 3D course with bragging rights on the board. I almost would rather trust their mental game because they're willing to put themselves out there.
Dude, you said it. I mean, you hit the nail on the head a little bit ago when you were like, dude, Central PA has some just straight up dogs.
There's some dudes in Central Pennsylvania. Yeah. Like, I mean, you go and look, you got guys like, I mean, anyone, even just Pennsylvania in general. Brady Myers has won an ASA event. Adam Winey has been down there.
Brady Myers beat friggin' Levi.
Levi from Pennsylvania. Yeah. You know, we've got Kelly Weathersby lives an hour down the road. Dude's won Lancaster. He's won indoor nationals. He was senior known, he won his way into Nova. These all dudes live within an hour. Mm-hmm. We got dudes that have podiumed in the semi-pro, guys that have won at the national level, the state level. I mean, it's cool. And so these guys, none of these dudes have a YouTube channel, by the way.
Right.
They barely even post a Facebook.
Right.
These dudes I trust. These are the guys. And that's what you won't know that until you learn who's in your archery community.
Right.
And the only way you meet those people
Is by participating. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll never meet anybody in your own backyard.
Yeah. No, that was good, clean fun. That was a good can of worms.
I want to make it so bad because it's just like,
it'd just be fun.
Yeah. It would be a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. But it's a different thing. Like there are guys like Joel Turner, for example, mm-hmm. dude knows what he's doing. His son, Bodie, mm-hmm. amazing paper shooter. One of the best paper shooters that's ever existed.
I don't know if he has a pulse.
Dude doesn't have a pulse, right? Yeah. It's just really, but if you look at like, what does Bodie do 3D? He doesn't.
No.
Right. Yeah. He knows his lane.
Yeah.
Right. He know this is what I do. Now, I'm sure out west, because he lives out west, Colorado, Washington, one of those. Yeah, forgive me, Bodie. I'm sure, Bodie, you are not watching this.
Yeah.
But he's out there. There's not the same opportunity that there is back east for mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But that dude, he dominates the indoor paper scene and the outdoor paper scene, and he sticks to that lane and he just crushes. When, you know, even schmucks like me on the internet try to cross over, doesn't usually go very well. And so, yeah, I think it'd be fun. But the thing is, everybody would want it to be a TAC event.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I'll get my doors blown off at a TAC event.
Yeah.
Because I don't shoot 90 yards at a Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
So
it's just so funny because we had two years ago, it might have been, when there was the one at Montage Mountain, Northeast PA, and it was like me and my buddies. And the way we score ours, it's closest to center, you know, and all that type of stuff. And so you're going for, you know, 11s. It's not like you're just like, oh, let me
shoot it for the kill shot.
Yeah, the kill shot. That's another can of worms.
That's not even a can of worms. Yeah. Just crack the thing and dump it on the floor. Yeah. It's the dumbest thing of all time.
So, you know, we're going for center ring. You know, we're going for that main score. And I won't ever forget it. And Josh, I always love listening to Josh tell that story. He goes, here I am thinking I have a chance to tie Jeremy. It was, again, this was the second course of the day. I blew them out first course. Second course, I was starting out pretty strong. And Josh started catching up. And it was the last target. And it was an alligator at like 40-some yards, a little cross, a little gut. I zeroed in on it. And I just drew back, dead center, like ringed it. And as soon as I got up, I go, good luck. You know, and he was like, okay. Like he didn't realize it till he looked at it. And he goes, oh my gosh, he's smashed. He goes, I'm going to have to Robin Hood him. Like that's the only way I could beat him here. But like, that's a cool feeling.
It is.
You know, like when you have that and, yeah, that's good stuff.
You build swagger, even if it's swagger within yourself. I've never finished shooting in my backyard and been like, oh, man, come at me, bro.
Right.
You know, come on. Like, really?
Right.
You know, like, and I get guys on the YouTube channel all the time. Well, I can hit this at this yard and I hold a group at this yard. And every single time I want to clap back and I'd be like, when was the last, like, what was your latest state score? Mm-hmm. What was your latest national score? What was your latest whatever? And I guarantee you it was not, because if it was, you would have said that.
Right.
Not I hit ping pong balls in my backyard at 50 yards or whatever.
Right.
Because that's not impressive.
Right. Yeah.
It's not. It's going and getting there. And I'm not saying the backyard practice is not important. Of course, it's vitally important. But we're in particularly right now, this time of year, you ain't practicing your backyard in Northeast. Mm-hmm. It's like 12 degrees outside right now. It's been blowing snow all day. It's awful. And pretty much north of Mason-Dixon line, that's what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah
you got to do it.
Yeah. I love it, man. That was a good one. I mean, what do you think, though? Like, what can we, as an archer, too, this off season, this point in time of your, we talked about how can we get better. What's something that maybe we should try to avoid? Like, you know what I mean? Like, or just be careful of or be aware of, chasing equipment, chasing that type of stuff. I don't know.
Equipment's a big one. I guess, equipment this time of year, of course, with the holiday season, we're all looking to kind of reward ourselves, get gifts, that and the other thing. I will say that's a big deal. But again, I will also say, I forget that, what is the term of like paralyzation with too much realization? Mm-hmm. Whatever it's, you know, you overanalyze it, right? You have too much data in front of you and it just kind of locks you up a little bit. So don't actually just sit on YouTube and think I'm going to learn all this stuff all winter long and then pop out in the spring like a daisy and just be so enlightened. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Go see it on YouTube or whatever, or read it in a book or listen to it in a podcast like you're doing here, and then just go try it for a couple days and see if it suits your fancy. This is the perfect time to be trying new releases. This is the perfect time to be restringing your bow. This is the perfect time to be doing all of that. So as soon as, you know, the daisies do start popping outside, if you really don't want to shoot paper, okay, it's a horrible idea, but if you don't want to do it, as soon as it starts getting warm enough outside, you're ready to roll.
Got it.
You're absolutely ready to roll. So don't avoid just taking your bow, throw it in the case and be like, I'm just going to learn everything through listening to whatever and watching whatever. I can tell you, to go along with it, don't watch, like, I love watching the Lancaster shoot downs, the Vegas eliminations, like those type of things. Don't watch that and go, I'll never do that. Or don't watch it and go, maybe one day.
Right.
Just
do it.
Do it.
Yeah,
just don't overanalyze and be like, one day I'll do, just do it. Just rip the Band-Aid off. There's no time like the present. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. And that is huge. It really is though. Like it's the same thing. I have the problem in hunting season too. Like I'll be watching like the Hunting Public who's another good Seek One, you know, and I'll be sitting there going, man, I really wish I was hunting right now. Get off the couch.
Yeah.
You're sitting, it's 4 o'clock on a Thursday, your work day's done or whatever, get up off the couch, who cares if it's raining, you want to go hunt, get outside and do it. So like it's those kind of things. I don't really know. I don't get too caught in the weeds in new technology anymore. Particularly this time of year. A lot of dudes that do, guys come in here looking for that fix. Mm-hmm. I will say from a hunting perspective, don't expect to be coming here and find a fix.
Yeah.
Like, don't be like, okay, I was shooting a whisker bisque, I think a drop away is going to make all the difference. Or I was shooting a fixed play, I think a mechanical. Or I was shooting this peep or that, you know, whatever. They're not. It's too late. Yeah. You've already burned that bridge. Even though we have late season stuff after Christmas, you've already set the table for yourself. So, I don't know. It's really a lot of that. It's not obviously being complacent, but then don't overanalyze it. Just keep in a state of continual practice.
I like that.
Yeah. I think is more important.
Yeah, man, dude, this was a fun one.
It's good.
Yeah, this was a good conversation. And again, I always thank you for being here and bringing me in and allowing me to do this with you and hanging out and chatting. And I look forward to the future one that we're going to do, and I'm excited for that. And closing remarks. Let's talk. I mean, we talked so much about the indoor. You have the league. You, again, come down, shoot it anytime that you're open. You have a ton of lanes. It's again, as an individual that is looking to join for that first time indoor league, it's very welcoming from my point of view. But you know, if you are within that driving distance and you're looking for that opportunity, what a better spot.
Yeah. If you're really within an hour of Phillipsburg, you're not going to find a better designed indoor league for everybody.
Right.
Open, bow hunter, the women's divisions, the trad division, the youth division. You're not going to, it's in the most laid back, relaxed atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, you know, if you want to avoid seeing people, come on a weeknight. We're a lot calmer. If you want to shoot with the same people every single week, I cannot stress that enough. Like, I did not realize how many, again, going back to the high-level people, how many high-level archers or even high-level amateurs, not necessarily pros, mm-hmm. lived in our area until I started going and shooting at other clubs.
Yeah.
And I know certain people might be listening or watching, might be like, well, I only have like one archer shop within 4 hours. I understand that. Okay. Right. But most of the East Coast and Midwest, you probably have a couple archery clubs within an hour,
right.
maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Shoot at all of them. You know, you might find that you jive with one more than the other, but at the end of the day, you'll meet all these great people. And then, you know, over the summer, you'll be on your local 3D course and you'll run in. Hey, saw you back in December.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's now a connection that is made. A friendship is made. And there's just a lot. There's a lot of that. I will say there's a lot of people that live outside the archery, that they're in the bow hunting community. You know, within the bow hunting Venn diagram, if you will, within the bow hunting circle, you have inside of that the archery community circle.
Yep.
And it's when the people from the bow hunting space come and penetrate into that archery space, it's like a whole new world, because the archer people don't usually leave. You know, we like what we're doing, but we meet up, we're like, oh my gosh, we're like two golden retrievers in a parking lot. We're like, oh my gosh, look, you're a dog, I'm a dog too.
Yep.
And it's just leave that comfort zone. You'll be amazed how many really awesome people you meet who are literally just like you, have the same desire with archery, the same desire with hunting, and you'll make lifelong friends.
Dude, that's awesome. Come check it out. And man, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. You're welcome in here anytime. I'll even turn the heat on for you.
Yeah, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in on Nate's podcast, or yeah, Nate's podcast on your friggin' YouTube channel.
It looks like a podcast to me.
Hey, it does. And man, I appreciate it. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler up.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.